All right, Lord, we thank you for another fine night tonight. We know it's going to be fine because you're going to guide us, Lord, and you're going to lead us. We praise you, Father, for all the revelations that are going to come out tonight. We ask, Lord, that you give us the things to talk about, the things that you want us to talk about. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for answering all of our prayers. I thank you, Lord, for protecting Trump and all of his cabinet and his family. For doing all of this. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him wisdom as well. And I just praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in us to put us on that narrow road, that straight and narrow road, and keep us on it, Lord. We're coming into some trying times here, it looks like. And, Father, I know you want us focused on you during this whole trip. And I ask you to give us the power to overcome the things that distract us and to keep our nose towards you, Lord, and our eyeballs on you, Lord, and our ears to hear the things that you have us to know, Lord. Sometimes if we're out in the flesh, Lord, we can't hear you. Or in the world too much, we can't hear you. But it's when we get in the spirit that we hear you, that still small voice. And Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us all into that realm, that spiritual realm of listening and hearing the things that you want us to know, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. Give us a good night tonight. Help us along, Lord. Give us the revelations we need. Give us the words we need. And we thank you, Father, for answering all of our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Okay, Missy.
Well, Alex is going to take his driver's test again tomorrow. So, if you could say a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. He's going to pass.
Yep. Amen. Lord, we just thank you that he is not going to get nervous. He's going to know everything he needs to do, and he's going to pass it. And Jesus, Father, we praise you. Forgive me that grace, Father, to pass this driving test for the umpteenth time. And we thank you, Lord, this is the last time he's going to take it in Jesus' name, because he's going to pass it. Amen. I believe that. All right.
Yeah.
Anything else? And
I just wanted to say more. I had to walk out of the house.
Okay.
I thank you, Lord, that you've been working in his heart, Lord, and that his heart is where you want it to be, Lord, so that you can give him the grace, Lord, to pass this test, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you for doing that, Lord. In Jesus' name.
That sounded like a cricket or something.
It's my timer. I'm working on baking.
Yep, okay. We think it's going to happen. We're looking for the good report come Thursday.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Are you going to take him, or is he going to go, or is Merle going to take him?
Merle's going to take him. I asked him today, since he has off tomorrow, I said, so who's going to take him? And he says, well, I can take him. I'm like thinking, good.
Okay. Well, what's going to happen?
I mean, if he would have said that he wanted me to take him, I would have. But it's just, I took him the last time. And so, besides, you know, if I'm believing, you know, he's going to pass, and, you know, this is, I think, a great thing for Merle to be there with him. when he does, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, he's got to have his dad there.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hey, Dano. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Since we've got that boy going to pass that test tomorrow. He comes out, had Judy come flying in here. Hey, Judy. All right, anybody else with a prayer request? Mm-hmm. Hi, y'all.
Prayer request for Robert. Robert, who works at BP gas station. I saw him again today, and he said he's got pneumonia. He's on antibiotic, but he's got this hip problem that he has had, I should say, because I already prayed for him on that. I went in to talk with him after I got gas to see how he's doing. That's when he told me about pneumonia. So I told him, no, you're healed of that in the name of Jesus. And he said, yo, yeah. But he needed another Sovereign God book because he gave his to his brother. And when I gave to him, he gave to his brother. So I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Robert. I thank you. You've humbled him and brought him to the place where he needs to rely on you, because they told him that they can't do any kind of operation on his hips, that the circulation was bad, and so he knows that there's no opportunity to be healed unless you do it. So we thank you, Father, for healing him. We thank you, Father, for healing his lungs as well, that he doesn't have that pneumonia anymore. We thank you that he's receptive to getting in your word and getting into the reading of Sovereign God. I pray that you give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that you just open up his heart more to see your truth, to have that spiritual understanding, that he would see your truth and be set free, and that he would have such a hunger and thirst for you that you would just touch his heart in such a way that he can receive that healing from you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We believe it, Lord. We believe Robert's healed.
Amen.
And then, Michael, I'd like to pray for my two aunts. One's going to be 90 in September. One's already 93. The one that's 93 just had a back operation on her disc, but then she kind of did something to her back since she had the operation. So, Lord, her and the other one fell down and hurt her tailbone, but she didn't break anything. So, Lord, I just want to lift both of my aunts up to you, and I command your angels to go there and heal their bodies. And no more falling down, no more pain to them. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You've healed both of them. Are they Christians, Judy?
Yes, both of them are.
Okay. Are they believers?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Okay. This is a request that Joel texted. I'll just read it first and then we can pray. I says, hi, good evening. I think I'm going to call it an early night, probably because of his new job, for bed here in a few. So I ask all of you to agree with me tonight about Sunday's message. I definitely could use a change of heart to be who I need to be, in order to be in the bride, and that I would make it up in my mind and heart to forsake all this world and seek the Lord, so I don't wind up falling short of the high calling of the bride. Better yet, that is my prayer request for everyone, that we all not fall short and do what we need to. God bless, and I will talk to you guys later. Amen. Well, that was Joe's prayer, and Lord, we agree with him, and we echo that prayer. Lord, we all want to make it. None of us want to fall short. So we're asking for your grace and mercy, and strengthen us in the areas we need to be strengthened, and give us wisdom and discernment, carefulness, determination, Lord, faith to believe the calling that you have upon us, God, that we'd attain to that for which we've been, Lord, you've apprehended us, so we would apprehend that for which you've apprehended us. So we just thank you for that now, Lord. We just receive this in faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a faith thing. The bride is a faith thing. Believing that you're going to make it and overcome with God's help. All right, anybody else? About a testimony or a praise report. Yeah, Anna.
Hello, Michael.
Hang on, Gay. No, we got Anna going right now.
Okay.
I'll get back.
She can go.
All right, go ahead, Gay. No, she said you go ahead.
Okay, well, I was going to give a testimony and a prayer request for a friend of mine. She was diagnosed with breast cancer 15 years ago, and we prayed for her, and she was healed, and now it has come back again, and she's thanking the Lord that she had those 15 years, because her husband had a stroke. I think it was been like 4.5 years ago, and she's been taking care of him. Her children were wanting her to put him in a nursing home or some kind of a care center, but she wanted to keep him home. And so she has, and it's really been, it's been a trial for her. It's really taken a lot out of her, but I just would like to pray again. She's standing in faith that she will be healed. And she says, if not, she's ready to go to be with the Lord. So, That's where she is on that. She is a believer. And so I just like to lift her up in prayer. Father, I just lift up my friend Jenny to you. I thank you for her. I just thank you for what you have worked in her life, that you have increased her faith in you. And I thank you that you've given her the strength to take care of her husband. And I just speak healing to her body, and I just command that spirit of cancer to leave her body in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in her, to work in her and in her family. Thank you for being with Dick, and I just pray that you would draw him closer to yourself, that he would desire to have a relationship with you and not think that he can tag along because his wife has a relationship with you. I thank you, Father, for what you're working in both Dick and Jenny. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Lord, we're looking for the victory here for her in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Thank
you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Does she believe God heals?
Well, yes, she knows that he does, because he healed her last time when she 15 years ago, Marlon and I were going to this little church in the town nearby at the time, and a group of us ladies got together and prayed for her, and she said she could just feel the presence of the Lord, and her body just got warm all over, and when she went back for some test because she had had biopsy done and that type of thing. And when she went back, it showed that she was healed. And she knows the Lord heals. And so anyway, we're just lifting her up again. This is 15 years later. She said she's just really thankful that she had those 15 years.
Is she giving up?
I don't know. I think right now she's to the point where she has quite a bit of pain. I guess I forgot to speak against the pain too. She's having quite a lot of pain now, and they're wanting her to do further testing to see, you know, if it's anywhere else or if it's still just the breast cancer or if it is, you know, because her back bothers her a lot. But I don't know. She called me the other day and she was debating on if she should have any further testing or not. I think she was really not wanting to, but I don't know what she, you know, her daughter was kind of wanting her to. So I'm not sure what she's going to do on that.
Yeah.
She really hadn't been telling anybody that she was even dealing with this trial. So,
okay. Can I pray for her?
You sure can.
Okay. What's her name again?
Jenny.
Jenny, Father, we lift up Jenny to you. And Lord, just bring it to her remembrance. All she has to do is just rebuke that enemy and command it to go because she was healed 15 years ago. She doesn't have to put up with this garbage anymore. And in the name of Jesus, I command that spirit of cancer to go. I command the spirit of the fear of cancer to go. In Jesus' name, and I command all pain that the enemy has put on her to tell her that she's got this thing, and she doesn't. And Lord, I ask that you place it in her heart, not to confess it, only confess the healing, that she has been healed at the cross 2,000 years ago, and she was healed 15 years ago, and there's no reason why she has to have it now. And Father, I thank you that she realizes that she's not under the curse, and she can rebuke this enemy trying to come back on her. And Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring Jenny into that realm of believing and having great and bold faith to believe in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Okay. All right, Anna.
Yeah, I got a little praise report. For several months now, Obi's been having this red rash on his legs and even, you know, on the insides of his arms up and down. And all I could figure was that it was some sort of allergic reaction. But I was like, he's healed, you know. He's not allergic to anything. So I didn't even try and figure it out. I didn't cut out, you know, any of his food and try and pinpoint what it was or anything. And it wasn't hurting him. He wasn't ever itching or anything, but it'd be bright red splotches all over his legs and sometimes even his arms. And I noticed a few days ago, it was constant, just always there. And I noticed a few days ago, I was looking at him, I was like, they're gone. All his spots are gone. And there's a couple of spots where it's like light pink, where you can tell there had been a rash, but he is healed. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that it's all gone. In Jesus' name. Right? Amen, Obi. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You're healed. Say, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
Yes, you are. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Little preacher boy. Well, get you some clothes on. What's the matter with you? Hey, buddy. I don't have to. Not me, not the kid. Okay. Anybody else? Got a testimony or a praise report? Or prayer request? Okay. One thing that the Lord has been showing us is that, and I mentioned this the other night, Saturday night, but I want to mention it here tonight, and that is that the Lord has told us to quit being news junkies and start being Jesus junkies. In other words, quit wasting so much time with the negative news and go with the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Start praying for the apostate churches and the people that are in them, that God's chosen would be separated out of them. Start praying for them, and also start praying for the man child. If you heard the testimony of the Bible study, I think it was Sunday, you'll understand what I'm saying, is that we need to be praying for each other and our brothers and sisters out there in the apostate churches, big time. That's our job as the bride, is to pray for the church. That's our job as the bride. We need to pray for the church. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been not being so much a news junkie as just staying in the Word and praying a lot, praying there. That's our job. So, all right. Anybody got anything they'd like to comment on? Well, we can talk about Adam and Eve's belly button. Nothing else comes up. Did they have one or not? Homie. Well, yeah, Anna. Oh.
Sorry, I was just waving at Obi. He's looking through binoculars.
Okay. That's all right. Oh, I'll be honest, I've been busy today, and this afternoon when I generally start doing a little bit of studying for tonight, I was trying to get my email going. So, it's up to y'all tonight. Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I like to pray for some of those larger cities. I read something about Seattle, what's going on in Seattle. I'm not sure if Barry, Maryland, if you guys are up that way, if you ever get up that way, but just about what's going on in the streets. And it says Seattle is dying was the article, and that was asked on YouTube. And they were showing how that the homeless people have completely taken over the streets of Seattle. I don't know how big it is and where, but it sounds like it's pretty massive. And there is no more law in order in the streets. They interviewed a lot of the different policemen that are walking the beat, and what they're up against is that they said if we arrest someone, he'll be out back out in the street tomorrow or the day after. The courts, they're doing absolutely nothing about it. It's more or less the government has pretty much given over the streets to these homeless people, and they pitch their tents anywhere they want, right in front of a business. They urinate on the sidewalks. They defecate on the sidewalks. Their garbage, just massive amounts of garbage. It's rat infested, very disease prone areas, and that these cities are just given almost like there's like lawlessness, there, that they don't enforce the law. The police have given up because they said, why even do it? We used to do our job. They said, well, we don't anymore. We just kind of, try to keep some semblance of law and order. But so the homeless people and have taken over, and most of them are on drugs. They're drug addicts. And because they have such a lax attitude, it's drawing homeless people from all over. They know, go to Seattle, go to And it's sort of getting the same way in Los Angeles and in San Francisco and Sacramento, and to mention a few others. And it's mainly the Democratic stronghold where this, you know, the Democrats are in control. So they're like trying to, like, they just don't want to have a law to enforce the law because you're, you know, that then you're violating people's rights. They have a right to live on the streets if they want to. That's what they're doing, but it's totally destroying these cities. But anyway, I just thought it would be one thing.
Where is the mayor? Where is the governor? What's it going on?
I don't. Yeah, it's surprising. They must just. I don't know. Where are they? That's what the people are asking. You know, where? What's going on?
Yeah, Tim.
Well, the governor's that whack job, Jay Inslee. He's liberal as they get, and he's just like de Blasio. He's anti-cop and anti-rules and, you know, pro open borders and all that other stuff. But when we're done with this discussion, I'm going to read a little bit out of Philippians there, get us back on focusing on continued.
Yeah. Well, I just want to pray for these cities, and I know we need the biggest thing is the gospel to go forth to those people that are out there. Some of them are probably, you know, they're just homeless. It's just the way life is. But then a lot of them are really drug related. They were talking about the percentage of how much, and they have no answer, you know. But then in later on in that same thing, it showed how in some cities, like over in Massachusetts somewhere, one of the cities that they have trying programs that are actually working. Another one in Albuquerque where they're going and picking up a lot of these people in vans and offering them a job for 5 hours a day. And they're, you know, but these seem to be people who are not the druggies though, but just homeless people. But there are programs that they're trying to use to work. But in those bigger cities, they're more or less given up. So. But Father, we pray for, we just think of all the people that are lost in bondages, and the demons probably are just having a field day amongst these people in these cities. And Father, we ask God that you would do something about this in these cities. Father, you would rebuke these politicians and these ones who think they have no better. Father, we just pray that law and order would be established, and that you would work in these cities. Lord, although I just wonder, are they reaping what they've sown, Lord? We just give an answer, but we just ask for mercy on those who are trapped and really in bondage and there's no way about, no way of escape. They're not providing a way of escape for them. They just live on the streets like that until they die. And so we just lift these cities all up to you. I think Seattle is the one I heard most about, and also LA and San Francisco and Sacramento and a few others, though, that we mentioned. But so we just ask that you would bring the gospel to the streets, and the church would reach out to these people, and the church would have an answer, God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God.
Amen. And Lord, we just ask that you fire these politicians. You put them for allowing this anarchist rule to take place, Father. I just ask that you put a stop to it. Fire them, get them out of there, drain the swamp, and put law and order back in there. Lord, let your people over there get some sense in their brain, not to elect these crazy people up there, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Barry? Yeah, Marilyn?
I Father, we just thank you and praise you. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your mercy and your loving kindness. Lord, nothing is hidden from you. There's such a comfort in knowing that you see everything, you hear everything, you know everything. And what has been is what is going to be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. And Lord, I remember you showed me probably 20 years ago that when Jesus showed up, the publicans and the harlots were the ones that responded the most. They were the easiest to reach. And Lord, that's what I see in these people. We see it on a small scale here in our small town, in our work at the food bank. We see them, we know them. But Lord, they need Jesus. And Lord, as we pray for our community every night, I pray for these bigger cities as well. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit, drawing these people to you, enlightening the eyes of their understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, just pour out a spirit of repentance and grace and mercy and faith. And Lord, do in them and with them and for them and through them as only you can. And Lord, I was just thinking yesterday about how Jesus looked on the multitudes with compassion and said they were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. But they so willingly came out to the desert places to hear Jesus and to be ministered to and to be healed and to be delivered. And Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth his laborers. And Lord, that is what I pray. It really came on my heart yesterday to pray. Lord, send forth your man child. He's the first fruits. We are praying and believing, Father, that you will quickly and very soon send him forth to minister in the power of your grace, in your mercy, and your love. Lord, we pray for that outpouring of the spirit of revival, that outpouring, Lord, of your presence that just makes people aware of Lord, that they need to get right with you. You give them an understanding that hell is real and that there is a consequence of sin. And Lord, just a shaking in their lives, a shaking to the very core, to want to be out of the bondage. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you that all are gone. The only way anyone can come to you, Father, is through Jesus. And you draw us by the Holy Spirit. And everyone was a black sheep before we came to you through the blood of Jesus. And we come out white on the other side. Lord, help us to be the light and the salt that you called us to be. But Lord, we are asking for the heavens to be rent and for you to come down and your glory to come down. And Lord, we thank you. It's the only hope of these hopeless, helpless people. And Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers and our cries for mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we need it. I got a text from or email from, I remember John from Sweden. He used to come on here. He said, I'm going to mute you, Benny. I got you. Okay. He said, David Wilkerson visited the large Pentecostal church in Stockholm in 2004 and gave a sobering message to the evangelical church in Sweden. He said, I have recently visited a small congregation here in Stockholm. They split from the large Pentecostal church in Stockholm some 50 years ago. It was after the Pentecostal church started threatening employee preachers for giving sermons on the book of Revelation. Can't do that because then you could scare off other tithers. Anyway, I had a meeting with the elders of this congregation and got to know what more happened during David Wilkerson's visit in 2004. Besides the official sermon, David had a closed meeting with the elders of the large Pentecostal church. In that meeting, he broke down in tears and revealed that he just had a vision of Stockholm being turned into a ruinous heap of rocks. And that's been kept secret. Most people don't know about this. This week, we have Pride Festival in Stockholm. It is like Sodom and Gomorrah. It is totally crazy how people are distancing themselves from God. I pray for people coming to God. I am right now reading a book on prayer by E.M. Boswell. So am I. So that's pretty good. I try to fast as well, but it's difficult to keep for a long time. Anyway, we need to pray. Y'all know that we've got the same problem over here, don't you? This politically correct garbage is just ruining everything. People's minds, mostly. But we have the same thing over here, and God's not going to allow this stuff to happen, you know, keep on and on and on without some sort of spanking that he's fixing to give. And I believe we're right on the verge of a big disaster judgment coming. In fact, we've gotten verse after verse after verse after verse about judgment coming. And so it's to, you know what the judgment's for. It's to separate God's chosen out of the churches. That's what it's for. So that's why that we need to be praying for these people that are in these apostate churches in a large and big way. We need to be interceding for we have the same problem here that he has in Sweden. That might look bigger over there because they're a small country, but we've got just the same, if not worse, here. Yeah, Missy.
Last night, we went to Merle's niece's funeral, actual memorial, I guess you could say. She apparently was cremated, but anyway. Oh, wow. I got a heavy dose of apostate Christianity. It was a Methodist church. And I know there's worse. I know there's a lot worse, but it just so grieved me. It so grieved me. And, but, you know, you know, I ask the Lord for his presence to be there and convict people of their sins. And, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there looking all around and, you know, and there was this message, you know, live your life and have fun. You know, you basically cut to the chase. That was, you know, there wasn't, it was just, I can't even, oh, it was horrible. And and just even the things that the pastor said and stuff, and but you know, I was thinking, you know, it's like nobody looked like they were, you know, just taking death seriously and realizing, you know, we only live in this body for so long, but it was just really sad. But you know, the Lord reminded me. He says, "You asked me. Doesn't matter what it looks like, but you know, people would think about how they're living their lives, and that the Lord would convict them of how they're living their lives, because, you know, I mean, she was only 48 and she died. They found out when they did the autopsy, she had an aneurysm, and I'm guessing it was an aortic aneurysm, and she was awfully young to have something like that. So she apparently bled to death internally. But I'm going to make another point. Oh, I asked the Lord for a verse for her today, you know, because, you know, Saturday we prayed that, Lord, she repented before she left this earth. And I got a verse the other day, and I didn't know quite how to take it. It was in Jeremiah 31, and it was saying, I forget what verse it was, but I landed on, "O thou backsliding daughter." But like the rest of it, and it says something about a woman shall encompass a man. And that was kind of, it was good, but I was just like, So I asked him for another verse today. I didn't know quite how to take it, but I at least took it that, you know, because I was asking the Lord to use this to, you know, bring awakening and a revival and all. And I looked at it that's at least what the Lord was saying there. So I asked him for another verse today, and I got Esther 7:3. And it was about Esther going to the king, and if I have, you know, how she, I don't have my Bible in front of me. If you want to look up 7:3, it's a good verse. In other words, you know, the Lord, you know, the King Ahasuerus is telling her, you know, ask what you want. She says, if I have found,
You want me to quote it?
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have it there?
Is this three?
Esther 7:3, yeah.
Then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request."
Yeah, so the Lord was saying, you ask, and I'm granting it to you. Yeah, but not just for her, but for, you know, all of God's elect. You know, it's just he wants us to be praying for all his elect and all, you know. And it was just like earlier I was thinking about it, and the Lord says, "Missy," I just felt like he was saying, "Missy, you have no idea the power of your prayers. Believe in the power of the authority that I've given you. Believe that when you ask, I really am going to give you what you ask for." You know? And the other day, the Lord really impressed me. What things are impossible with man, all things are possible with God, you know? I was reading in Andrew Murray, and then that one day he was talking about that, you know, how the man, he says, "So Lord, if thou wilt," and the Lord says, "If you can," or whatever. And the Lord says, "I can be healed," or something, or whatever. He's talking about his son. And, the man says, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief," you know? And sometimes, how he said it was, sometimes we have a hard time believing for the faith, to, you know, believing that we'll have the faith, you know. And so that just really encouraged me. But it just really made me sad. And it was just like I had this realization. It was just like all of a sudden it just hit me when we were at the meal afterwards. You know, it was like the Lord spoke to me, "Missy, there's going to be a time when there's going to be so many people dying. You're not going to be able to go to everybody's funeral." You know? And I felt like I can't, you're muted. Anyway, I felt like I need to say, you know, say that tomorrow. You know, you realize there's going to be a time when we're not going to be able to go to everybody's funeral. And not everybody's going to have a funeral. I mean, there's so many people going to be dying. They're not going to be able to, bury everybody in single graves. I mean, I don't mean to be morbid, but that's the truth. Anyway, oh, Lord have mercy. But anyway, so, yeah, even before, you know, David started saying about, you know, praying for those, or not praying enough for the, those in the apostate system, that the Lord had just really been, the Lord had just really started burdening me with that more. So, but Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your salvation and your granting repentance to Merle's family, Lord. I thank you for waking them up. I thank you for waking my family up. I thank you, Lord, for waking all our families up. I thank you, Lord, for waking all of your chosen, your elect up and bringing them to repentance and bringing them out of their apostasy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, Missy, that dog, when he barks, it's loud. That's okay.
I didn't realize I was outside and I didn't have the door completely closed. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been so loud. Yeah, she's, Lord, in Jesus' name, I can, Lord, give her a softer bark in Jesus' name.
Amen.
She has a really loud bark for a little stinker.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pat.
Can everybody hear me? I was going to wait. I left a lot of times I like to email my what I've been thinking in the morning related to reading and various different things and flip it over to me on an email so I can read it. And I forgot to do it today for the meeting. So I figured I would do it Thursday, but really the conversation and everything is going exactly what the Lord has been showing me. So I'm going to trust the Lord and wing it. One thing I wanted to say is that, first of all, I wanted to make kind of a confession here as I'm speaking about the things that the scriptures that the Lord was bringing to my mind. A couple weeks ago, I was listening to the message. I think it was a Sunday night message or something like that. And the Lord, I'm sorry, I'm looking for my email here because I have a didn't come all the way over. So I am really going to have to wing it. A scripture was brought up, and it was, I believe it was Jesus was talking about exactly where it is, I'm not sure, but he said he was talking about all that are labor and are heavy laden come to me. And he said, I think the next verse was that he that believes on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being or belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then he's the next verse, he said, this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which was to be given, but had not been given yet because Jesus was not glorified. And I remember I was on my lawnmower. I like to listen to these messages on Sunday and whatnot. I'll sit out on my lawnmower and listen to these messages and because I have time alone, I guess you might say, when I can listen to him. And that scripture just hit me. And it was one of those things that, you know, kind of hits you and you think about it for a while and ask the Lord, you know, what are you trying to show me there, et cetera. And so I ended up putting it up on the shelf of my mind and just letting it sit there until things kind of gelled a little bit. But today I was, yesterday the scripture was coming to me. It was the, just the thought of the Holy Spirit hadn't been given because Jesus was not glorified. And I got to thinking of the principle there, kind of behind that. I know that it's talking about the giving of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost and whatnot, but I was looking at kind of a general principle behind that, and that is Jesus glorified in your life, or the decrease of myself, the increase of Jesus, and that in relationship to the Holy Spirit or the fullness of the Holy Spirit, etc. And so today I was reading through Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. I was reading those verses. It's actually, I'll just go ahead and read them. It's 2 Thessalonians 1:10. And he's talking about, Paul was talking about the end times, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all of them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. And I was just looking at that word glorified in relationship to what I just said, related to the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us. And Paul obviously is talking about an aspect of this that will be happening in the end times. This is obviously after Pentecost, after the initial Pentecost, but this is something that's happening afterwards in the later days, last days. And just thinking about that connection between Jesus in us, he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believed. And I was thinking again of the scripture I started with. They which believe on Jesus, as the scripture has said, as the scripture has described, shall receive that spirit, but it was not given because Jesus was not glorified yet. And so there, it's like there's another glorification that is happening, that the scripture is talking about here, happening within his saints. To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. And obviously Paul was praying that those Thessalonians would have this. And then in the next verse it says, that the name of the Lord, or in order that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, that you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. And so I was thinking about these things, and this morning, even in reference to what Missy was saying there, I started thinking back of a time. The Lord kind of blessed me when I became a Christian. I'm going to say that I found him. My awareness was raised. I realized who Jesus was in relationship to the Father, in relationship to God. It dawned on me as I was reading the scripture. This is before I was even connected to any church whatsoever. And when I became a Christian, when I probably mentioned it or testified of it before related to the scripture, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that was like the light that went off in my brain, and I realized and made the connection who Jesus was. He was the one I was seeking. He was the one that was my life, my way, the truth, everything that was connected to that. And so God blessed me in that I met him before I got connected to a church. And within 6 months to a year, he led me out of that process and into the doorway of the Baptist tradition, and I entered in through that fundamental independent Baptist tradition, so to speak. And as I was thinking of that, I was thinking back at some time that I was involved for probably a couple of years, and God took me into that process because I had no background, no religious background whatsoever. I had no, other than what I read in the scripture and the Bible, I had no fellowship with fellow believers. I had none of that. I was out on my own. I'm sure that I'm not unusual in that event. Probably there's a multitude of people that came in that way or whatever. But the point being is that in so doing, I had, I'm gonna say I had an advantage that many of the people that are, say, born into that through that process, I had a little bit of an advantage in that the scripture that comes to my mind is that they, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And the Lord had shown me, given me, made me sensitive to his voice, and I was able to have that, his voice and my dependence primarily upon him, as opposed to the structure or the pastor or the structure around me, I guess you might say. And so, unfortunately, or fortunately, how you might put it, it was unfortunately, I felt him. For me, at that time, I thought it was unfortunate that I began to realize and recognize the apostate mentality and how it functioned. And I remember just struggling over that at times, and in frustration, wanting, you know, to a certain degree, thinking, you know, God, you kind of made a mistake here, didn't you? I mean, I wanted to know God. I bailed in with all, you know, both feet head first all the way in. I'm in this thing 100%. But what is this that I'm starting to see here? And I'm trying to work my way through it. And so I don't ramble on, which is almost impossible for me. It came to a situation where I was really crying out to God and saying, you know, let me know where you want me to go. I'm ready to go. You know, I'm ready to get on with this. And he more or less, in a very short order, told me that this is where he put me, and he'll move me when he's ready for me to move. So just buckle down and learn to submit and learn to learn the lessons I'm teaching you. And so I did. But so I say that one of the things that he showed me, and I believe I kind of went around it, and that is, we had a tradition of going out and banging on doors in the neighborhood, type of thing. And so I got on board with that, and I went out with my pastor, and we didn't go to different doors in the neighborhood and knock. We went to a certain list of people that he had. And so as I went through that process, I became a little bit uncomfortable with the process that took place as we went through that, and that whole banging on doors and opening up and say, hi, how are you? I'm from the church down the street, and I'm really concerned about your soul and, you know, about you going to hell and this and that, whatever. And it, I just never felt comfortable with that approach. And so after a while, I got to see that most of the people, even though they didn't want to really say it, they kind of weren't into that approach as well. And so this traditional, I don't know what it was, Thursday night or whatever, of going out banging on doors, it became a thing of people going out and going to their fellow friends and brothers and sisters in the and they go to their house and they'd have, you know, talk and whatever. So it became a whole facade. So I kind of bailed out of it myself. And what I, the scripture that I wanted to bring up, because obviously I'm rolling past my allotted time, and that is the scripture of, was Luke, where he's talking about, I don't have it, so I'm going to wing it again. In Luke, he's talking about putting your light under a bushel. Men do not put their light under a bushel, but set it on the lampstand so that all can see. And that scripture convicted me at the time. And I knew that I had to express, I had to put my light, I had to be available to be the salt of the earth, to function in that way. But I felt very uncomfortable. I felt ashamed at being connected with that type of process, etc. And I, quite frankly, kind of clamped down and closed down. And I believe that I physically, I mean, and spiritually, put a basket over my light. In other words, I kind of closed off. And the problem is that now I find that there's something there now. And again, I went through the cleansing and cast out demons and whatever, make sure that there was no issues related to this whole thing a few months ago with everybody else. But this seems to still be, I don't know, pester me or something that's there. I don't know if it's in my psyche or I don't know if it's in the soul or if it's something that I'm not aware of or something that's there. I don't know what it is. So part of my bringing this up is, number one, is a prayer request. I'm confessing it and bringing out in the light. I know that the scripture says, he that is ashamed of me, I will not confess before my Father, etc. So this whole shame thing or embarrassment or whatever, that's got to go. So I don't know where that all came in or if it's all connected to this or not. I don't know, but I'm putting it out there because I want prayer and I want to confess it and trust God to cleanse me for that situation. So that's one thing. The other thing I was thinking about is, and it was really kind of following up with this, is that I really began to see when I was in that environment that the people, the majority of the people that are in that structure, within that structure, are simply they're simply trying to follow God in the way that they understand, and I believe that they've been trained away or not taught or not brought into that faith of being able to trust the Spirit of God that can speak to them and give them guidance and to lead them through this process. And you have, I think, a great amount of people that are in that position in the apostate system. I think you also have younger people, there's always the group of learners that are trying to, you know, learn and be the next pastor or be next preacher and get ready to go to Bible school, etc. And take on the mantle and carry on the company line down the process here and make sure that we promote the quote gospel. And so there's those people that are, I'm going to say, disillusioned deceived. And then you have the certain group that are aware of the deception, but willingly promote it because of its benefits. Maybe they started ignorantly and didn't know it. And I think those are what you might consider the wicked leaders of the group. So, but my intention and my prayer and my heart's desire is to focus on that first group of people that I believe want to know God and are under the right circumstances would reach out and seek God if they just knew that there was a way. They inwardly don't have confidence in the system and in the apostate system, although they're not aware of it. They just know in their spirit something's not right. And I believe that God is going to bring about the circumstances that is going to give opportunity for those people to really know the Spirit, really know the Holy Spirit, and have that relationship, a solid relationship, when they can trust and receive from God, their Father, because He's given them the Holy Spirit to guide them into all truth. And I remember before I was putting the pieces together, when I first came to the Lord, it was like I only had one piece of the puzzle, and his name was Jesus. And the rest of it was confused, and the rest of it was scattered, and I just started putting stuff together as I would read the word and learn authority and learn submission and learn to the greatest danger lead is right here between my ears, and I need to be willing to receive from God as he leads me through this process. So I believe that they are, the people in the apostate system are needing and are ready and prepared for the truth of the gospel. But there's got to be something that will shake this system free and shake those people loose and put them on their own where they're able to, where they have a need to find God. And so I guess I'm through rambling, and I would like a prayer related to this this other situation.
This other situation, Pat, is that something that has been condemning you? Or you've been in under condemnation because you haven't been able to speak up when you thought you should or whatever? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no. I feel like there is a block somewhere to the fullness, the filling, the fullness, the anointing, whatever, however you want to say it, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, maybe. And I'm speaking, going back in to the very first scripture I brought up, that kind of the principle of that Jesus is not glorified in me, and the fullness of the Spirit has not happened to me, and I speak that, unfortunately, I guess I speak that in relationship to the kind of the difference between me and the way I function or whatever. I am not as free as you guys seem to be as far as the fullness of the Spirit, the utilization of the gifts, the trusting of God to lead you through, point your finger at a scripture, etc. That sort of thing is kind of what I'm thinking. Maybe I'm not as prolific with the gifts as you guys are. And is there a block there? Is there something that's hindering that?
Well, first off, the Lord doesn't want you to look at somebody else. He wants you to look at Jesus. Don't look at somebody else to find out what you're supposed to be. You look to Jesus and believe that he's doing it in you. That's the process right there. I have to ask you a question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit?
As far as I know, I am.
Okay. Do you speak in tongues? Do you
pray? Yes.
Okay. Well, that's the power.
Do I feel compelled to speak in tongues a lot? No, I don't.
It's a discipline. It's a discipline.
Okay.
And after you discipline yourself to do it, that the Spirit, see, that the tongues to me is key to our walk with the Holy Spirit. When you pray in tongues, that edifies your spirit and it builds your faith up along with the Word of God. But the tongues is essential in that respect too. You have to pray in tongues. You need to pray in tongues a lot. John Lake, and y'all have heard me say this many times, they asked him what was the catalyst to his power. He said praying in tongues a lot. because it builds up the inner man. It builds up the spirit man a lot. And you don't have time for something else, you see. But when you do that, when you go out and evangelize, you know for a fact that when you pray for somebody, God's going to answer. That's where the faith comes in. That's when you start getting people's attention on Jesus. It's when Jesus starts doing the works in you, through you, to them. Just because you can go out there, you know, I did the same thing that you did, but that at first, and then I found out that the power of God is what gets their attention. It's not me. It's not you. It's the power of God. It's those signs and wonders that tag along with you. You know, you get out there and it's God that does it. It's not me. It's not Pat. It's not Denny. It's not any of us. It's the God in us that does it. I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to believe from that point on that that block is gone, okay? I just know it's going to be gone. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this spiritual block in Pat to come down right now. I command that block to not come back in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask and I pray right now that you give Pat great and bold faith to believe that he's walking in, and he is accounted righteous as he walks this walk out, Lord, and I thank you for it. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you put a hunger in him for the word of God, and a hunger to pray in the Spirit, because that's the most perfect prayer that we can pray. And when we pray in the Spirit, those prayers are answered. Every one of them are answered. And Father, we just praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask you right now, Lord, that you fill him up. You fill Pat up with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that it be an overflowing, and that the joy of the Lord would be overflowing out of him in the name of Jesus. Right now. Joy. Enter into Pat in the name of Jesus. Peace in his heart to understand that it's his faith that keeps him, not somebody watching somebody else, but it's his faith in you, Lord, and his trust in you to believe that you're doing this work in him. That verse in Luke there, that's where we all attain to. That's what we all attain to. Let me get to it. Where was it? What was that verse in Luke that you had? Oh, wait a minute. What was that verse in Luke you had earlier? The one about the glorified.
For some reason it didn't send over. It was I have to look it up. Light.
I had it just a minute ago, but I lost it.
Which will be
John 7:37.
Yeah, there's.
No, that's not it.
Luke 11:33. No man, when he hath lighted a lamp, put it in a cellar nor under a bushel, but on the stand, that they which enter in may see the light. The lamp of the body is thine eye. When thine eye is single, is this the one?
No. Okay. It's the one. Yeah. Go ahead, George. You got it. John 7:37. No, that's not the one he quoted earlier. The one he quoted earlier was when he was talking about the glory in man, in him. The glory of God.
Oh, that was Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians.
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians 1:10.
Okay. Listen to this. Let's read the whole thing, the whole context. We are bound to give thanks to God always to you, brother, even as it is able, for that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of each one of you all toward one another abound, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all of your persecution and in the afflictions which you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, to the end that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, which you also suffer. If so be that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense affliction to them that afflict you, and to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And then it says, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believed, past him, because our testimony unto you is believed in that day. To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness, every work of faith, in that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. That's the fullness of Jesus right there. And ye in him, according to the grace of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the mature. That's what God wants us all to attain to, is Jesus Christ walking in this fleshly body. That's what he wants. That's the hundredfold fruit that he's looking for. It's Jesus in all of that, but one way to get it, and that's through faith. That's through faith to believe that he's going to do it for you, and trust in him that he's going to do it. And when I understand what you're talking about as far as looking at somebody else, and I live with David in, for goodness sake. I'm having to put up with looking at him all the time. I can't look at him and judge myself. What I have to look at is Jesus and say, Jesus, do this work in me. And when you do this work in me, I'm accounted righteous. As you do this work in me, I'm accounted righteous. If I'm doing everything that I know to do in Christ, then I'm accounted just as righteous as David or Jesus or anybody else. It's when we misstep that we get out of line, but that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at Jesus in us. You're right where God wants you now, Pat. You're right where he wants you. And all we have to do right now is just keep on believing. When you keep on believing, you're going to see the results of it.
Amen.
Now, we've already prayed that wall down. We've already prayed that wall down. You're going to be with Jesus. Amen. And start
Amen.
Praying in the Spirit a lot. Go ahead, George.
I was looking up the same verses that Pat started with earlier, talking about Jesus stood up on the day of the feast. That's John 7:37. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit. And he said that he had not yet given the Spirit because he was not yet glorified. But it's not that he's waiting for us to be glorified in him or him to be glorified in us, as much as when he went to be with the Father and he received that same glory that he had when before he came here, that he had the prayer he prays in John 17 talks about that glory and being glorified and how he's glorified with the Father himself. And then he says he's going to give, that he has given us that same glory, that we may be one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one. And I see that as Jesus being the mediator, that the Spirit of Christ in us helps us to go deeper into that oneness of the Father in Christ, that glory. And that is a journey that we're all on. And when Jesus said, you know, it sounds, you know, you prayed that Pat would be have a hunger for the word and the things of God. And also I would say, if he feels thirsty, if he's in a dry spot, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, come unto me and drink, and from within him shall flow rivers of living water. That praying in the Spirit is priming that pump, getting that the Spirit of God flowing and whatever circumstances we're in to flow out of us the life of God. And the more that starts flowing out of us, the more it becomes those rivers. And I also, the reason I started looking that up to begin with was I see that as the answer for these slums and these people on the streets, is what's going to clean it up. Where darkness abound, grace does much more abound. And the hoi polloi, the people in religious station who think they've got a front row seat in heaven, God's offer made them an offer, and a lot of them have refused. But now he's telling us to go into the highways and hedges and bring them in to the banquet. And I believe that's the people, those homeless and those people who are humbled in their life, God is close to them. And it's those rivers of living water flowing out of us confidently in the hope that we have. We transfer that hope and that life to those people and bring them into the supper. And so, you know, being confident in our covenant and trusting in the power of the Spirit that's always with us, you know, we are going to see this harvest, and we are going to have a loving heart towards the down and out and the up and out, but they've got to respond to the gospel. It's not our responsibility for the harvest. Our responsibility is just to serve the bread that God gives us. So, you know, I ask for that same hunger myself for the word, for the things of God, for denying myself and less of me and more of him. So if that helps, I know it helped me. God bless y'all.
Amen. Help me too. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just want to pray for Pat, too. And Pat, just really reach out your faith to the Lord that he's going to do that work in you, you know, that you will be a light shining, that the bushel would be off, so to speak, and that he will shine through you. And he will send you divine appointments and give you an opportunity to share your faith with people and an anointing with it. So you're just, our trust is in him, that his Spirit will work it within you. There'll be no damper, you know, nothing to damper. So just make yourself available by faith and trust, and ask the Lord to do this. Trust him, and he'll just release you, you know. It'll just happen. You don't have to worry about it. It'll just kind of happen. He'll be at work. And so we just pray for Pat for that. You just would take any bushel off of him, Father. You would give him an anointing to share his faith with others and to teach others, Father. I just pray that he would be able to teach others, and you would put him in that situation, God, where people would come to him, Lord, in Jesus. They would recognize the light that is shining. They would come to him. They would seek him out. And we thank you for that, God. Just give him that opportunity at work with his men that he works with and his family and his neighbors and his relatives. Just really anoint him, Father, with your Holy Spirit. We just thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, Dave.
Hey, Pat, how much longer you got on the night shift?
I don't know. They haven't said anything yet, but I suspect it'll be another month or so at least.
I know when I worked the night shift a lot, sometimes things became very difficult. You're tired all the time, you know. So don't give yourself a little bit of a break too. You might just be just a little tired. I used to be a liar, tired a lot. It's kind of hard to get a feel for who you are sometimes. You kind of feel like you're in a numb all the time. At least I was. I mean, you kind of get used to it, but, you know, now this is my night time right now. This is my difficult time of the day because in the morning I'm at my best, but at the evening I kind of get a little not as quick, you know, and I don't feel as connected. But I know when I worked in night shifts, sometimes I didn't feel connected to a lot of things a lot of times. So I suspect probably after you get off this night shift, things will smooth out a little better too. So finally, well, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. But on the other hand, I'm sure that the Lord did it for a particular reason as well. And I'm thinking that sometimes a little shaking and getting out of the comfort zone, so to speak, put you in a different frame of mind and you start seeing weaknesses and things happening and in other areas of your life, and I'm gonna trust that that's what it is and that the Lord is in charge of it, but I appreciate it as well.
Well, absolutely. I think you are in a position of weakness right now. That's not a bad place to be. Paul knew that's where he needed to be a lot in order for things to work for him because he was too strong otherwise. So the Lord knew that, and he knew after a while that his strength was when he was at his weakness. So, because he had nothing but to depend upon the Lord all the time, because he couldn't do it in his own strength. So, maybe that's the glory you're getting out of this. You're learning how to depend upon the Lord because you're in some tough circumstances too. Sometimes a little bit with this, you know, the newness. It's difficult. So, Father, thank you for helping Pat come through these times.
Thank you, Jesus.
Giving him your power and your strength and your glory in order to overcome these circumstances he's going through. And you brought him to this point where he could experience weakness so he knows to depend totally on you, survive on you and your strength and not his own. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Denny.
Yeah, one more thing, you know, as Michael said about praying in the spirit, that's something that, you know, you've got the faucet. You turn it on when you want to because it's prayer. There will be times when, you know, God will really move upon you and you'll sense it's the Lord. You'll be praying in the spirit. But normally you'd pray when in tongues when you want to. And so use that gift. It's a gift. Trust it and use it. And you'll be sealed. It'll make a tremendous change in your life. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Judy. So.
I didn't go to prayer meeting this morning, but I sent a prayer in, a scripture, and I was really blessed by it. When you're talking about, you know, bringing forth the gospel, this scripture just reminded me so much of that and what the Lord is saying. If I could read that, would it be okay? The scriptures? This is 2 Corinthians 9. And I'm going to start at 6. and 6 to 15, if that's okay. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, this is the part that really got to me too, because it all ties together. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God, because of the proof given by this ministry. We will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. When I was looking at and pondering on that, meditating on that, you know, I remember the first part, you know, you think right away, okay, they're talking about giving to materially to people, you know, to take care of people, and, you know, giving, not giving spiritually, but giving abundantly, and you will be supplied, you know, because given it shall be given unto you. But this is, to me, I saw something more. I saw that this is not just giving materially, but it's to give the word spiritually, to give the word, to sow that seed that you've been given, to reach out to others. And, you know, because it mentions about the gospel of Christ, confessing the gospel of Christ, it just made me think of it as we are to be laborers to go forth to minister the gospel. And as we do that, I mean, that's what I felt like the Lord was saying to me. As we do that, then the Lord will bless us with what we have need for. And it could be that need is our families, which I felt like he was kind of saying to me, because of what I've been dealing with my family. Some of them are going the right way, some of them not, you know, and I want them all to go the right way. So anyway, that's what I was blessed with. So I just felt like I wanted to bring that out.
That goes along. Yeah, that's fine. That's a good one. That goes along with what we've been talking about. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's what. So, Lord, I just pray that we would all be together, that you would bring us to that place where we would recognize our need to reach out to those and give what you have given to us, that we would supply, because you have supplied our needs, that we would supply other people's needs, and be open to hear, no matter where we are, you know, wherever we're traveling, whoever you bring to our attention, Father, just bring us to order our steps, because that's what your word says, that the steps of the righteous are ordered of you. So I pray, Father, you would bring people across our path, or us across people's paths, so that we can reach out and give the supply that you have given us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Sue. Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful deliverance with Chad the other day. So he's been freed up quite a bit, Malcolm. You'd be happy to hear that. He's doing a lot better, quite a bit better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you talked with him?
I've been in touch, but I haven't been in touch since they left. Have they showed up your neck of the woods yet?
Well, that's what I was talking about. We had a deliverance session here.
They're actually there physically?
Let me start over. Yeah.
They left here just a little bit ago, so they made it there, I guess.
They've been here a week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I was trying to tell you that.
I was listening at a distance, so I didn't catch everything. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Okay.
Yeah, I forgive you. What I was telling you, he had a pretty nice, pretty good deliverance and pretty thorough deliverance. And we just have to lift him up and make sure that he holds that deliverance, you know.
Love it.
Yeah, doing great. Doing great. I believe the Lord did a thorough job in him. That's up to him. It's up to Chad to keep it. Okay, just like everybody else, you know. Just like everybody else. Once you get delivered to something, it's up to you to keep it out of there. Keep that stuff down. I don't know what you're cooking over there, Missy, but boy, it sure smells good. Yeah, just
popcorn.
Pile it on. Look at that cinnamon roll.
Listen, my first try, not too bad.
5,000 calories. It.
Yeah, it's all going on my backside.
Amen. Look good too. I'm talking about the cinnamon roll. All right. What else we want to talk about here? You know, I've got something I'd like to read if I could. We were talking about prayer earlier. I'm out of Ian Bounds again. Who was it that was reading that? Oh, that was John. Faith that centers itself on a powerful person. The faith that creates powerful praying is the faith that centers itself on a powerful person. Faith in Christ's ability to do and to do greatly is the faith that prays greatly. Thus, the leper laid hold upon the power of Christ. Lord, if thou wilt, he cried, thou canst make me clean. In this instance, we're shown how faith centered in Christ's ability to do and how it secured the healing power. It was concerning this very point that Jesus questioned the blind man who came to him for healing. He questioned him. He said, believe ye that I am able to do this? He asked. They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. To inspire faith in his ability to do, Jesus left behind him that last great statement, which in the final analysis is a ringing challenge to faith. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Faith goes when it is commanded, as did the nobleman who came to Jesus because his son was grievously sick. Like the man who was born blind, it goes to wash in the pool of Siloam when told to wash. Like Peter on the lake of Gennesaret, it cast the net where Jesus commanded. Instantly, without question or doubt. And that's where he wants us to be. He wants us to do it without question or doubt. It takes away the stone from the grave of Lazarus promptly. A praying faith keeps the commandments of God and does those things that are well-pleasing in his sight. It asks, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And answers quickly, speak, Lord, thy servant here. Obedience helps faith, and faith in turn helps obedience. To do God's will is essential to true faith, and faith is necessary to unquestioning obedience. Whew. Lord of God, I don't know about y'all, man, that just set me up. That's the, you know, that God gives us all this stuff. There's nothing we do. All we got to do is just obey what the Word of God says. That's all we have to do. And have patience. When we pray, that's something else. When we pray, we have to have patience. I know that some of you out there have been waiting for a long time for a healing, or some of you have been waiting for a long time for this or that or whatever. Endure in your faith to the end, and you'll see it happen. You'll see it happen. You know, a lot of people say, why you talk a lot about faith? That's the basis of our walk right now. That's the basis of it. And a lot of people don't exercise enough of it, in my humble opinion. I don't exercise enough of it. Yeah, Denny, go ahead. Did you have something earlier? You have to unmute. I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Tim had a verse earlier in Philippians. I don't know if you get a chance to bring that out. Or...
Oh, no, I didn't see it. Philippians, what was it?
Oh, you were just talking about, getting off the news junky thing. So I just said, you said you didn't have anything prepared, so I was just going to throw that out there. But we're doing fine without that verse, I think. It's just in Philippians 4, the one about, dwell on those things that are good and lovely and all that. I can find it real quick. Yeah, it's Philippians 4 through 10, I guess, or 9. It's, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's real encouraging. That's one of my verses 3 or 4 weeks ago. But I like that when I'm, overwhelmed by the world.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Amen. Listen to this. This Philippians, I saw it run across this while ago when I was looking for that. 10. Philippians 3 and 12. Not that I have already attained or am already made perfect, but I press on. If so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Jesus, by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, forgetting the things which are behind. Don't worry about what's back behind you. And stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. Only whereunto we have attained by that same rule, let us walk. Brethren, be ye imitators together of me, and mark them that so walk, even as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus instead of man. You keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll be fine. All right, anybody else?
Just got a question, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I was off for a few weeks, and Dirk and Paula have came on board, and I wasn't. I don't think I've met them. So where, Dirk and Paula, where are you from?
They're from Arkansas.
Are we from South Africa?
South Africa, okay.
Yeah.
All right, down where Joe is from?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord. And how is the environment there now? I know it was very testy a few months ago, or 4 or 5 months ago. Is it still the same political environment there now?
Yes, yeah, it's still the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We've been praying for it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Amen. How far are y'all from Monroe?
Say again?
Monroe.
4 or 5 hours.
I'm not sure where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Seemed like somebody was, Monroe might have been telling me he was, I don't remember. It's been a while since we talked to him. Anyway, William was on here. Yeah, William's on here. He's from down there too.
Mm-hmm.
WPDP. He's from down there too.
I was actually also wondering as I looked, it would actually be nice for me as well to know in which states all of you are so that I can have a mental picture.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, right next to Philadelphia.
Okay.
The home of independence, American independence. That's a little sidebar.
Okay, cool.
On the east side of the state of the United States. Northeast. I'm about the Midwest. I'm Michigan. It's I'm probably about an hour from Lake Michigan, and everybody in Michigan always puts up their hand like this, however, and they'll say, "Well, I'm from this part of Michigan," you know. So, and this being Great Lakes.
Well, let's see. I'm from, right now I'm living in Tennessee. Dennis living in Tennessee. Judy and Sue are living in Tennessee. Tim's living in Tennessee. And I guess that's all that's living in Tennessee right now on here. But Barry and Marilyn, where y'all from?
We're up in the Pacific Northwest, very northwest part of the country in Washington.
Okay, Missy.
That's where my brother, my sister, and my brother live. I came from Oregon originally, which is up next to Washington on the Pacific Northwest as well. So.
Who are from Pennsylvania? Yeah, Missy and Barbara's from Pennsylvania. And who else? I think that's it.
We're in the outskirts of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
She's south of Pittsburgh. I'm east of Pittsburgh.
Okay. Andrew? He's from the tundra up there in Canada. Go ahead.
Nation's capital, Canada. Ottawa.
Okay, Wade and Jeanette. We're running out of time here. Go ahead, Wade.
Lafayette, Louisiana, yeah.
They're from Lafayette, Louisiana. Lafayette, what we call it. All right, George. That's in the middle of the state of Louisiana. Go ahead, George.
I'm up in Maine near Canada also.
Megan?
I am from Texas.
All right. WPDP, where you from, William? Caught him sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got you.
How are you? Well, how's everybody?
We're blessed, brother.
Okay, well, we're from Middleburg. I think 2 hours drive from Joburg.
Okay. I know exactly where it's at. Not a chance. All right, Gano, where are you from, girl? Gano's from Nebraska. Tracy's from Nebraska. Malcolm, I don't know where he's from. Where are you from, Malcolm?
Way over yonder. Actually, we're on the same river that Marilyn and Barry, is it Barry, are on, the Columbia River. But we're way up close to the border with Canada. Same river. It's just where the Cascadia fault, when that happens, they're going to be a little further downstream than they're closer to the Cascadia fault tsunami coming in.
Amen.
So we have a lot of dams for that tsunami to come over before it gets to us.
Okay. Malcolm, while you're on there, why don't you go ahead and sign us off with a prayer?
That's right. It's after 7. Oh, my goodness. Well, after 10. I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay.
Yeah, Eastern Standard Time. Okay. Well, Lord, I just want to thank you so much. I'm just so grateful to you that what you've been doing with Chad and Charity's lives and such a good God, Lord, just thank you for hearing our prayers and for granting deliverance and freedom and I pray, Lord, that you will put in all of us that are here a great knowing you and help us to feel that call that you gave to the 70 and the 12 of your disciples to go forth and to heal the sick, raise the dead, just be your hands and your feet. And Lord, I also pray that you'll put on our hearts to just not to heed what David's been talking about, the eagles turning from idols and putting all of our eggs in your basket, in your kingdom. Help us to make first your kingdom and your righteousness. I pray you be with everybody tonight, all around the world, people that are listening, whether it's in the listening to the recording or on live now, that you will work miracles in their hearts. They'll reach out and touch people who hear this recording. And Lord, thank you for what you're doing all around the world right now. Thank you that you're King and you're God and that none can escape your hand and that you're over all. Help us just to be yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. That's it, folks. Let me unmute everybody.